The White Carpathian Mountains, straddling the border of Moravia and Slovakia, are one of the most beautiful and rural parts of the Czech Republic. Towns are few and far between, and for centuries local people would take their aches and pains to old women, renowned in the region for their special healing powers. They were known as goddesses and passed their knowledge from generation to generation. But Czechoslovakia's post-war communist rulers saw the world these women represented as a threat, and within two generations they were wiped out. Their tragic story is the subject of the excellent novel Žítkovské bohyně, Žítková goddesses, by the young Moravian writer Kateřina Tučková. David Vaughan meets her.
Kateřina Tučková is a writer known for her attention to historical detail. Her previous award-winning novel, The Expulsion of Gerda Schnirch, mapped the fate of German-speaking civilians driven out of Brno just after the end of World War II. Her latest novel, Žítková goddesses, was published last year and also benefits from meticulous background research, but without ever becoming swamped in detail. Despite its subject matter, looking at the ancient Moravian tradition of folk healing, the novel is not in the slightest bit esoteric or nostalgic. Instead, it maps with surgical precision the persecution of the old women known as the Žítková goddesses. At times, she faithfully and chillingly recreates the pseudo-scientific language of the secret police reports, reminding us just how far the regime was prepared to go in persecuting those they saw as different. I met Kateřina Tučková to talk about the book.
It was my way to my roots because I'm from south of Moravia, and in 2006 I searched for a topic for new book, and my friend historian David Kovařík, he is also ethnologist, so he told me about Žítková goddesses and about the whole affair which was around them during communist regime.
And tell me a little bit about these Žítková goddesses and this particular tradition.
People believed that they were something like shaman woman. They knew a lot about herbal treatment. They knew how to deal with psychological problems, and they knew also how to influence the weather and love magic, but also black magic. And their abilities were given them by God. That's why they were called goddesses, bohyně in Czech.
As we find out in the book, they also have their assistants, or the people who are learning from them, are called angels, aren't they?
Yes, there were also angels, anziel in dialect. Angels were usually children who led people from Starý Hrozenkov to the mountains.
Starý Hrozenkov is a town in the region.
Yes, it's the main town in the region, and Žítková is a very small village which is on the top of mountains, and angels usually waited in Starý Hrozenkov, and they asked clients, where are you from and what's your problem and so on, and clients talk with the child because he thought that it doesn't matter what he said to the child. But this angel came quickly to the house of goddess and told to the goddess what he knew from the client, so it was very clever process.
So it's a kind of way of cheating, in a sense, wasn't it? And presumably also a way of making sure that people who wanted to harm the goddess didn't get too close to her.
It was a bit cheating, but also there was some placebo which helped to client believe to the goddess's power. And when goddesses knew a lot about the client and he didn't know how it's possible, then he believed to the process of care and treatment more. And it was, in the end, I guess, good thing.
And this was a tradition that went back for generations, literally for centuries, isn't it?
It is. Ethnologists and anthropologists say that this special knowledge came from Slavonic time, so it's really very old art which goddesses can make.
So you're really talking about something that goes way back to early medieval times.
Yes, also in 17th century, where witches trials in Moravia, and two of goddesses were killed during this witch trials. There are also views to 19th and 20th century, the beginning, when goddesses had problem with local priests all the time. And into the Nazi era, where goddesses were studied by so-called SS Hexensonderkommando.
So these were kind of quasi-scientific studies of what they were doing.
Yes, it was. The SS Hexensonderkommando was founded by Heinrich Himmler, who wanted to know some esoteric things about all German woman priests. And
it sounds like really it's a kind of rather diabolical quality to it, this SS witch special commandos. It's something I've never heard of before.
Yes, it's not my fantasy. It's a real commando which existed. It was founded in 1934, yes, and finished in 1944. And during these 10 years, they really researched everything about witches' trials. They found a lot of documents in archives. It was very important for Nazi propaganda. And they told to German women that witches were, in fact, the German woman priests. So it was...
So paradoxically, the Nazis kind of supported the witches.
Yes, they wanted, because it was for them the proof that all the German tribes lived throughout all Europe, and the relics found in Czech Republic were important for them because of geography.
It's really insane, isn't it, seeing these old women in rural Moravia as some kind of remnant of a great pagan Teutonic culture.
It sounds really like a fantasy, but the big archives of this SS Hexensonderkommando is in Poznań in Poland, and you can go there until today.
And presumably it was also a source for you in your own research.
Yes, it was a very important source for me, and also other archives in Czech Republic.
And I'd like to get to that, because I think what is so fascinating about your book is the way that it looks in detail at how these people were seen after the communists came to power between the 1950s and the 1980s. And it's deeply shocking, because really there was a systematic campaign to wipe out any remnants of what were seen as unsocialist, unscientific medical practices or superstitions.
Yes, it's the most sad part of the history of goddesses, because during communism they were followed and searched by secret service, and the last of very important goddesses was given into psychiatric clinic because the communistic regime wanted to get rid of her, and she died there. That's the really sad part of this history, and that's why also the younger generation has no chance to get the deep knowledge about the goddess's art.
One of the things that I find very gripping in your book is the way that you use the secret police archives, and you have a lot of letters and files from the archives, which I understand are fiction but are very closely based on your own research in the archives, where you see the way that the secret police really did try systematically, well, in the case of the novel, this one particular goddess, to make her life impossible. And they're constantly giving the reason that this is because we want to create a scientific socialism, a better future, and these people are in some way getting in the way.
Yes, it's terrible how the communist regime saw people who were different like problem, which is necessary to get rid of from the whole society. Because today we see as like a rich tradition, which is absolutely great, but unfortunately it's lost.
Tell me about how you went about putting this story together.
I visited the old people who has own experience with goddesses, and I worked with witnesses, with people's memory. Then I went to archives and tried to find something about the whole society and so on. And finally, my fantasy made from it the whole story.
And you have this central character called Dora researching into partly into her own childhood, isn't she? And also into the life of this person who played a very central role in her life. That's the goddess Surmena.
Dora is the niece of Surmena and lived with her until she was 14 years old, and then moved out from White Carpathian and became an ethnologist, so she's able to reflect the reality with the theory.
The book also has an element of a detective story. I mean, right at the beginning, we have this most horrible, violent scene, don't we, where Dora comes home with Sormena to find her parents dead in a pool of blood, which isn't explained, and you're carrying that through with you in the story.
Yeah, it's explained in the last part of the book. And there is something which people from White Carpathians believed, and the name of this problem in Czech is kletba. I can't translate it.
It's a curse.
It's a curse. So the explanation in the end will be the curse.
Dora darts through the hall. At the door to the room, she crashes into Sormena. The never-ending split second of her last small step, which sends her between Sormena's flank and the doorframe, and ends with her gaze fixed to the wooden floor. Lying next to Dad's legs is Mum, with her skirt rolled up over her thighs, and around her, all around her, a pool of dark, dried blood. Silence, and the three of them in the doorway, like statues.
A great deal has been written about the communist period, and one of the things that I like about this book is that it's taking the period from a completely different angle. It's amazing, isn't it, the amount of energy that the secret police devotes to an old lady who is illiterate, living on the margins of society in the most rural part of the Czech Republic. But still they see someone like that as a real threat, don't they?
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but in fact she was very important for the society, even if she was old and illiterate, but she was a central person for the community in mountains. She could help to everyone who came, and as my witnesses told me, she was really very clever, and their helped.
This novel, the Zhitkova Goddesses, has been written about and talked about a lot in this country. Where are you heading now?
It's a bit secret, I guess, because I had a very interesting topic also, but I talked about it so much that I don't want to talk about the topic before I start to write. I'm sorry.
But one thing you can talk about, I think, is whether our English-speaking readers have a chance to read anything that you've written in English translation.
Yes, fortunately, the Zhitkova Goddesses is being translated by Andrew Oakland, and he's translating it because they will make movie about the Zhitkova Goddesses, and it will be in electronic version in internet, but we are searching for publisher. Now it's good news that it will be published in 5 languages. Among them is German, which is very important step for Czech literature. So maybe after German edition will be also English published edition.
So, Katarzyna Tuczkova, thank you very much for talking to us, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you for inviting me.